welcome to the Betting Across America Sunday edition here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, presented by BetMGM. We'll take a look at all the games going on in the National Football League today. We'll get you up to date with all the scoring and the in-game action as well. Mike Sennett from Detroit, James Salinas joins us from Denver, Colorado, and Wes Reynolds is in the VSiN studios in Las Vegas. Let's start our conversation today with the Lions and the Panthers. The Bridgewater-Stafford conundrum has been a puzzle all week for bettors to figure out who will play at quarterback for each team. Carolina's Teddy Bridgewater dealing with an MCL sprain. He is active but will not start. P.J. Walker, the quarterback from the XFL's Houston Roughnecks. Prior to that, he was in the American Athletic Conference of the Temple Owls. With the Roughnecks, he led the XFL in passing and touchdowns, leading the Roughnecks to a 5-0 record, but he has taken just 14 snaps to the National Football League. Matthew Stafford has a partially torn ligament in his thumb. He's going to play today with the Lions, but not with Kenny Galladay or DeAndre Swift available. The game was a pick'em, but after the news that Teddy Bridgewater would not play, the Lions quickly became the three-point road favorite. And James Salinas, this is an interesting matchup in Carolina.
Well, and not only for Bridgewater, that's a huge loss for Carolina with Bridgewater not being able to go. Not only I just think he's been able to come over there and be such a calming influence. He's a very steady player when it comes to his demeanor. So it's a very young team on both sides of the football for Carolina, and a young coach for that matter too. But from this perspective as well, not only with Bridgewater not being there from his playmaking acumen as well as his decision making at the quarterback position, there's three offensive linemen that are not going to be playing for Carolina either. Their backups there, left tackle, left guard, and right guard, all undrafted players. So a big drop-off at the quarterback position, also big drop-off at the offensive line position. So I suspect a very conservative approach from a game plan perspective for Carolina. And then also on the Detroit side, yeah, with Matthew Stafford, how's he going to be able to spin it today with that thumb? Not sure how much of a detriment that will be today, but a big detriment to that offense, not having Kenny Galladay, big playmaker, especially down the field, big play ability, quick strike ability, he not being there either with all those mix and matches, all those issues there on both sides. I just took the under in this case. I didn't bet the side, but I did bet under 48 for this contest.
Yeah, nothing for me here. Obviously, what James said on the Carolina side in terms of their line injuries, in terms of not only Bridgewater, but also McCaffrey. On the Lions side, though, for Matt Stafford, it's like, you know, how is he going to spin the ball and how is he going to be able to throw with the injured thumb? Plus the fact that you have a couple less targets to throw to. No Kenny Galladay, no Danny Amendola, no DeAndre Swift on swing and screen passes out of the backfield. So this was one I stayed away from, and this was lined very late. A couple books had prices up, probably not taking as high limits on the game until the injury news came out, but it did close at BetMGM, -3, -$1.20 on the Detroit side, and the total ended up closing 47. Carolina currently in Detroit territory, 3rd and 9 from the 43, 11:32 to go, still no score. The first score of the day does belong to the Atlanta Falcons. They get 3 points on the opening drive. 11:18 to go, Atlanta 3-0, and Jacksonville has a field goal as well. 10:57 to go in the first quarter, 3-0 Jags.
Carolina driving with their quarterback, P.J. Walker, the former XFL star. Carolina 11-3-1 against the spread in their last 15 home games after a straight-up loss of 20 or more points. That information available in Point Spread Weekly, vsin.com/subscribe. Let's take a look at the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. These are a pair of 6-3 teams. There are playoff implications in this one. There is a whole slew of teams tied at 6-3. If the playoffs started today, the Ravens would be the 7th seed. The Titans would not make the playoffs. After their 5-0 start, Tennessee has dropped 3 of 4, including that 34-17 loss to the Colts last Thursday. Meanwhile, the Ravens, they've dropped 2 of 3 after falling to the Patriots 23-17. Some turmoil, some issues with both teams here. James Salinas, Ravens laying 6 with a total of 50.
Well, let's just start from the personnel standpoint for starters. With Tennessee, left guard is out. Staffel's not going to be there, and Taylor Lewan got hurt back a few weeks ago. He's not going to be there on that left side either. So challenge for them running the football up front today. I think the other piece, too, is big game for the Raiders. I think a big game for both teams. We saw it in the pregame. If you saw the pregame with this game, they all came out at the coin toss. There was some chippiness going on. The coaches came out, kind of got into it as well. So this is going to be a fun game to watch just from that standpoint, because I think so much of it stems back to last year with the Ravens being the number one seed in the AFC, having so much time off, really resting guys prior to the playoffs even starting, very flat, and end up losing that game to Tennessee in that divisional round. Also really just getting pushed around in that game from just a toughness standpoint. So a lot to prove for the Ravens today, but they've got their own issues. Obviously two guys with Williams as well as Calais Campbell not being in the meat of that center of that defensive line. Big losses for Baltimore today. But as well as offensive line, this is not the same offensive line for Baltimore that we saw last year to this year. And there was some talk about, I didn't see who's playing center, but talk about change at the center position as well. A whole slew of issues going offensively for Baltimore up front. So hence, I didn't play either side. I knew this was going to be a very chippy, intense game. So in this case, I did find, 50.5 out here. I did bet under 50.5 as a total for the guy.
Ravens go 3-and-out on their first series. Tennessee now first and goal at the Baltimore 5. Key play of this drive was the first play of the drive. 39-yard pass interference penalty on Marlon Humphrey put Tennessee in Baltimore territory. And now Ryan Tannehill and the Titans will have first and goal from the 5. Still no score here about 6 minutes into the game, but Tennessee knocking on the doorstep here as the 6-point underdog to strike first in Baltimore.
This matchup, the Ravens and the Tennessee Titans, John Harbaugh is 5-1 when avenging a playoff loss from the previous season. Baltimore 15-0 to the under in their last 15 games at home against opponents from the AFC South. Ravens laying 6, no score in that one at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Another weather day in Cleveland, although it appears it's cold and wet and not much wind to speak of at First Energy Stadium. The Cleveland Browns are taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are clinging to first place of the NFC East with a 3-5-1 record after they lost to the New York Giants, and they had difficulty converting on third down, going 0-of-9 on third down. Carson Wentz, an NFL-high 12 interceptions, the only quarterback of the NFL to start every game this season and finish with a passer rating below 100. For the Browns, it's feast or famine on offense. They either score 30 or more points or 10 or fewer. After last week's win over Houston 10-7, the Browns, one of the 6 teams tied at 6-3 in the AFC, but they would not be one of the 7 playoff teams. This is another game with playoff implications. Browns' James Salinas are laying 2.5 at home with a total of 44.5.
Yeah, I didn't play the side or the total. I didn't have any props for this game just because for Cleveland, this is their third straight home game and the third straight game for them as far as just the weather has just been atrocious. Whether it was that Raiders game a few weeks back where the wind was close to 30 miles an hour, the snow's blowing sideways. Last week, bad weather, a lot of wind with the Houston game. And now this game is just going to probably be a sloppy mess just with constant rain. That field's going to get slow. It's going to be a slow track. From that perspective, I didn't want to play either side. And also there's some issues for Cleveland. No Myles Garrett. They've had a lot of COVID issues, both at the offensive line, now the defensive line, and the linebacker position has been a problem for them when it comes to having players ready to play and being able to be on the field. And then for Philadelphia, I don't know what Wentz we're going to see. I mean, I think this is still a hangover from the Super Bowl a few years back that Philadelphia won without Carson Wentz, who got hurt during that season, and Nick Foles picked it up and took him all the way to a championship. I think Wentz continues to try to play the hero ball to validate his standing within that team and within that franchise. He holds the ball too long. His decision-making is very poor because of that, and then his accuracy has really struggled. So it's not a side or a team that, until they start to rectify some of those issues, which I don't know if that's going to happen in a game like this, I just didn't feel comfortable playing this game in either side.
Tennessee closes out the drive with the one-yard touchdown. Ryan Tannehill to Jonnu Smith to take the early 7-0 lead in Baltimore. And at BetMGM, Baltimore now 1.5-point favorites, 50.5 on your total. Jacksonville, after their field goal, tried an onside kick, did not convert. So Pittsburgh Steelers get a short field here, down 3-0. And then Philadelphia, the game we were just talking about, they were looking like they were going in the score, had second and goal from the 5. Miles Sanders fumbles. Cleveland recovers. Still no score there. Cleveland minus 2.5, 39.5 at BetMGM currently is the total. I did play Philadelphia here at 3.5 because if you recall last week, when Philadelphia got some very good injury news, and I don't want to say the Philadelphia Eagles are healthy, because health being a relative term in week 11 of the National Football League for any team, but they're healthier than they had been most of the year. So everybody kind of piled on them last week against the Giants in that close 5, and that's when I came in before kickoff and took the Giants. Giants do get the outright win. I think maybe bettors could have been a week early on the Eagles, because when you have guys that have been out for so long, it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take at least a game to kind of knock the rust off and get used to playing football, getting in that term, quote unquote, football shape. And sometimes I think that happens here. And that's why I did like the Eagles in the spot. But for those that bet the Eagles, you obviously don't like that fumble at the 5-yard line by Miles Sanders. So 7:56 to go, no score in Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the best bets this week, vsin.com/subscribe. Matt Eumanns agreeing with Wes Reynolds. He liked the Eagles at +3. Philadelphia 13-2 to the over in the last 15 games against AFC opponents. That total is 44.5. Weather a factor again this week in Cleveland. A couple of prop bets of note. Carson Wentz over under 249.5 passing yards, a touchdown at 0.5, under -125. If he throws an interception, over -140. He has one pick at least in 7 of his 9 games this season and leads the NFL with 12 interceptions. On the Cleveland side of the ball, Baker Mayfield over under touchdown tosses today of 1.5. And Nick Chubb, who last week had a strong game in his return, over under 70.5 passing yards. If you ask Drew Brees where it hurts, he'd probably say everywhere. They have counted 11 broken ribs for the Saints quarterback. He is now on injured reserve. The 13-time Pro Bowler is out for at least 3 weeks. Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston will get the starting quarterback for the 7-3 Saints. Well, we know now it's Taysom Hill. Surprisingly to me, you'd think you'd go with Jameis Winston with the stronger arm to see if the Saints could do something vertically without Drew Brees in the lineup and his 5.4 depth of target, which is the worst in the National Football League. In the last 2 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Winston's depth of target was 10.8 and 10.9. But Sean Payton has decided to give Taysom Hill a go at 100%, not here and there. And so Taysom Hill's going to get the chance today to show what he can do. James Salinas, Saints are the 3.5-point home chalk with a total of 49.
Yeah, and kind of suspected that based on the extension, the contract extension they gave him in the offseason. 2 years, a lot of guaranteed money for a player in a backup position that's more, in a sense, folks thinking that he's a running back coming in and running wildcat and running read option, those types of things. But yeah, I think this is where Peyton, a lot of speculation, will this be Drew Brees' last season? I think after taking the hit and the consequence that came after that hit against San Francisco last week where he's got the injury and the ribs issue, all of that, I think if anything for Brees now with the shoulder injury that he had too, probably definitely if he was thinking about leaving, this might cement that might cement it for him as far as retiring from the National Football League. But when it comes to Taysom Hill, I think that was going to be looking at the game plan. So yeah, when I look at these games, I try to get inside the coach's head and look, what is the game plan going to be for these teams? How are these teams going to approach and coach this game? So from the New Orleans perspective, strength at the offensive line, strength at the running back position with Alvin Kamara running the football, being able to ball control, get keep Taysom Hill in third and short and third and manageable positions to throw the football, and then defensively being able to apply pressure. No Marshawn Lattimore today, that might be a factor, but also a really good kicking game, solid in all three areas. So from that perspective, I think it'll be a conservative game plan. I did play under 179.5 yards passing for Taysom Hill. If this kind of the story and this narrative of how I expect this game to go, I think they're going to run the ball more and be very conservative. So we'll see. So far, so good. Early, just 3-0 so far, halfway through the first quarter for Atlanta.
Chris Boswell, no good on the field goal for Pittsburgh. So Jacksonville survives the onside kick, 3-0, 8 minutes to go in the first quarter. New England also on the board, 9-yard touchdown run from Damian Harris, 7-0 over Houston. Just getting back to the game that we were talking about. Look, Taysom Hill, you know that's the guy Sean Payton wants to be the quarterback in New Orleans with the contract extension. Jameis Winston's only there for a year. Taysom Hill's got 2 years, so they're going to give him a chance here, and that's who they want to be the quarterback. Now, how do they change the offense going forward? Who knows? But I know that he can at least throw a long pass down the field because he did it in the playoffs against Minnesota, a big touchdown pass. So he's got the strength, but does he have the accuracy is what they're going to have to figure out long term. So far, 3-0 Atlanta halfway through the first quarter.
Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, will continue in a moment from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Exciting college and pro football action every week. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, or the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with the in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best matchups. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And a legendary columnist from New Jersey, a seasoned bookmaker from Las Vegas, and the late Hall of Famer from Louisville are all on the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. Jerry Eisenberg tells stories of his 70 years covering big races and other sports, the South Point's Chris Andrews handicaps weekend races, and you'll also hear an archived interview with the late Paul Hornick. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod, available for download and free subscription at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. From the Motor City, I'm Mike Sennett. From the Mile High City, it's James Salinas. And from the VSiN studios in Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds. And Wes, get us up to date on what's happening right now in the National Football League.
Yeah, Washington football team first into the end zone there in D.C. today. It was Antonio Gibson with a 1 yard touchdown run. Now 7-0, the WFT minus 4.5 in the in game line, 45.5 your current total. Baltimore does get a field goal on the board, 7-3 Tennessee. Baltimore minus 1.5, 50.5 on the total. New England Patriots and the Houston Texans also tied at 7-7. Nice response from the Texans. Watson to Randall Cobb from 3 yards out, 7-7. New England minus 2.5 in the end game, 54.5. New England was the most popular play in the early morning, by the way, from the service industry, as we will call them, those that make their picks available for purchase. Very lopsided added on the New England side today. So that is the score there now, 7-7. We're at a break in Cleveland. It looked like Chubb was stopped short of the goal line. They ruled it a touchdown, but they're under review there in Cleveland, so we're waiting for them to come back from break. But that would obviously be a huge swing, considering Philadelphia was going down the score, and then goal line to goal line, if the Browns can get in here, a huge 14-point momentum swing. In New Orleans, a second goal, timeout currently, 3:36 left to go. Taysom Hill has the Saints, though, in scoring position, down 3-0 early.
And Carolina into the end zone on the Detroit Lions. Carolina with an early 6-0 lead with the extra point upcoming. Circa Survivor has been wildly popular. Lots of conversation about it. Lots of segments on it here on VSIN. And James Salinas is participating in Survivor. He has, Pittsburgh and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. James, the top choice, the Los Angeles Chargers, 140 out of 297 entries that are remaining selected the Chargers this week. Talk about your picks, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay.
Well, so the Chargers, there's just something with the Chargers at this point in the season. It's a 2-7 team. I know they're playing the Jets, and I have not been I'm not a Adam Gase apologist by any means, because I think that's just that team and that franchise is a completely dysfunctional organization. But I think from this standpoint here, I don't know what it is about the Chargers that leads people to feel like, I get it, you're looking for these home teams, in a sense, whatever home field advantage means this in this day and age for 2020. But looking at these teams feeling like, all right, the Jets have been a bet against all season long, but I feel like that's more what the play is. It's a bet against the Jets as opposed to bet it on the Chargers. In this case, that's why I don't want to play games where it's a bet against the team. I'd rather play the team that's a bet for that team. And in this case, with Pittsburgh, I do not like the scheduling spot for Pittsburgh in this scenario. A big sandwich spot between last week's big division game, always a division game, a tough game with Cincinnati, and then huge game Thursday night hosting the division rival Baltimore Ravens. Bad spot to lay the number. I didn't lay the number. I did not play that ugly dog with Jacksonville either. But in this case, I stayed away from both Minnesota as well as the Chargers. So you know which side I'm rooting for today from a Survivor contest perspective.
That touchdown, by the way, overturned in Cleveland. Kareem Hunt stopped at the goal line. So Philadelphia will have their ball on their own 1 yard line. No score yet in Cleveland.
Back with more in a moment. This is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So many games every weekend, VSiN is here to help you keep up with the latest lines and smart bets. And now you can get an amazing holiday deal with 25% off an annual subscription. Bet with confidence every weekend using all the tools we have to offer. 24/7 video streaming, point spread weekly, daily email updates at best bets from every show guest and host, 20% off items of the VSiN store, plus every betting guide we create, including the College Hoops Guide coming out later this month. It's the gift that keeps giving year-round. Start improving your sports betting IQ today. Visit vsin.com, subscribe, and save 25%. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Colorado. And at the VSiN studios in Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds. And Wes, an update on what's happening in the NFL.
Yeah, we have a 7-0 lead for the Carolina Panthers just at the end of the first quarter here. Mike Davis, good from 1 yard out. Detroit will have a third down on the ensuing series. Maybe this is a position to get the Lions live. They did lay three on the road, now down 7-0. But And now, as I say that, Kara, they've turned it over. Carolina has the football back now. Second and one from the 13-yard line are the Detroit Lions, Carolina. So looking to go up two scores here early. And then all the scores basically the same. New Orleans did have to settle for a field goal on that drive. And now Cleveland, just as I say that, they are into the end zone. Turnover for the Philadelphia Eagles. This total got down to 33.5 because you had two drives, one for each team, where they both went down the field fairly easily and did not score. So that'll make up for the lack of scoring in the first quarter for overbetters as Carson Wentz has thrown a pick six. I'll try to identify the player. He was hit, and as he threw, picked off by number 44 of Cleveland, and that's a house call for the Browns. 6-0, extra point going to be pending, and that interceptor was Taki Taki, I think is how you pronounce his name. I hope I got that right. But anyways, in the end zone, two turnovers already for the Eagles, and they're about to be down 7-0 early second quarter.
For Carson Wentz, his NFL-leading 13th interception this season. There was a prop bet at BetMGM over under half an interception, so that is cash with his first interception of the game, a pick six. Let's preview the Cincinnati Bengals at the football team, the Washington football team. Two teams, combined record, 3-13-1, negative 84 point differential. Cincinnati, 2-6-1, but they've been cashing tickets for bettors, going 6-3 against the spread. Washington, 2-7, just 3-5-1 against the number. Rookie Joe Burrow, 10th in the NFL in passing, 2,485 yards, while throwing the second most passes in the league this season. Alex Smith, the feel-good story, favorite to win comeback player of the year after returning from 13 surgeries that saved his leg and his life. Last week, he threw for 390, 290 against the Lions at a 30-27 loss. Washington, James Salinas, a 1.5 favorite with a total of 47.5. I'd be curious to see if you bet this game.
I did not bet this game. I was leaning towards the Washington side, not because I'm seeing again, when I look at these games, I dig into what's the narrative of this game? What is this going to look like? And once you start looking at the personnel of these matchups, I think for Washington, the strength of that team is going to be on their defensive front. And now for Cincinnati, with the injuries that they've had up front, Joe Mixon just went on IR. So they haven't been able to utilize him the last few weeks to really take some pressure off of Joe Burrow. We saw that early in the season, so many attempts for Burrow and so many times he was getting put on his backside, not conducive for having your star rookie, your franchise quarterback sustain through a season if you're going to keep putting him put on his backside. But in this case, they haven't invested in the offensive line. And when I dug into this, they have some injuries. They had some COVID issues going on the last couple weeks. Right now, this starting offensive line for Cincinnati, it's going to be two undrafted free agents and then a fourth, a seventh, and a sixth round pick up front. So not a lot of talent, not a lot of experience either. So I didn't like that matchup from the perspective of having to go up to what I feel like is one of the only strengths for the Washington football team, that defensive line. So I couldn't make a case for either side in this scenario. I don't like either of these teams. They're not very good teams. They're both totally in rebuild mode, but I did find a prop in here that I like that fit the narrative of Gio Bernard, who's really to me a third down back, gets the ball out of the backfield, receiving the ball as opposed to running the ball. His total yards were 80.5. I just can't see this scenario where with that poor offensive line and that front for Washington allowing Cincinnati to be able to have Bernard get that many touches and make that many plays. Hence, that's the only play I had there, was under 80.5 collective yards for Gio Bernard.
And currently Washington 7-0, -1.5, 47.5. But as I say that, Joe Burrow with a nice scamper down to the 2-yard line. So the Bengals are going to have first and goal here. Burrow off to a nice start, 13-16 for 119 yards. And then a nice run there on the read option on the zone read there, gets to the left side. And he'll be taken down at the 3-yard line. So first and goal for the Bengals. I didn't know what to do with this game either. All the offensive line concerns make it tough to take Cincinnati as they're stuffed on the first down run there. But also, Washington, can you really trust them in this favorite role? That being said, they're right in the mix in the NFC East. Everybody is still in the mix here. Philadelphia has the best record. The Giants are probably playing the best football, but you've got Washington that has to have some confidence. They played a little better lately. Dallas at least comes off a bye this week. They'll play in the later session today, so maybe a bye week is the best thing for them. So this division is up for grabs, and you look at all what's already happened with Philadelphia. Carson Wentz, it should be Carson Wentz for INT instead of ENT in the name, because he's already thrown a pick six, just an absolute bad throw there. Already a house call for Cleveland. Cleveland up 7-0 early second quarter.
Eagles a $1.50 favorite to win the NFC East. The Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys are both at 8-1. And I was right the first time. Washington 390 passing yards last week for Alex Smith. It gives you pause when you see a number like 390 next to Alex Smith's name, considering the horrific nature of his injury with the team last season and how he had to fight his way back. Not only to walk again, but to even play football again. He did have 390 yards passing last week for Washington. Alex Smith, over under prop bet this week, over under 270.5 yards. His touchdown prop, 1.5 touchdowns, over $1.30. And his interception prop, half an interception, minus 140 to the under. When we return, we'll preview the Patriots and the Texans and get a recap of all that's going on in the NFL today. This is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the sports betting network. BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 if they place a $1 wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Sign up and use the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today and use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, and Wes Reynolds joins us for the VSiN studios in Las Vegas. And Wes, an update on what's going on, including an update on the health of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Joe Burrow took a big shot, first round pick. Chase Young chases him down, knocks the ball loose. Looks like we have a fumble. It has gone to break, so we are waiting for the review here. Looked like Washington on initial first glance on the replay did recover the fumble. Still being shown on the score ticker as fourth and goal from the 3 for the Bengals. So we'll have to wait until the officials make the determination on the review here to give you a full update. But we do have a couple other score updates we can give you. Atlanta now up 6-3, 13:56 to go. They had a field goal down there in New Orleans. Taysom Hill getting the start, of course, as we mentioned, for the Saints earlier today. today. So 6-3 Falcons, very early second quarter. Baltimore Ravens add another three-pointer to make it 7-6 Titans. 9:54 left to go in the second quarter. And I believe just looking at the in-game line here, -3.5 on the Ravens, 48.5 your current in-game total. And also when we were updating that Detroit Carolina, it happened like right as we were going into the last break, PJ Walker intercepted into the end zone. So Carolina does not get to go up two scores, but they do hold the Lions 3-and-out. Carolina with the football, 11:20 to go in the second quarter, leading the Detroit Lions 7-0. And Carolina currently in the in-game, -3.5, 40.5 your current in-game total.
And remember all the quarterback questions surrounding that game. The game went to Pickham. And once the information came out that Teddy Bridgewater would not play for Carolina, the Lions quickly became the three-point road favorite. Let's take a look at the Patriots at the Houston Texans now. A 4-up and 5-down season for the Patriots. And they're currently in an upswing, winners of two straight after a win over the Ravens. Houston, they've struggled all season long, losing 7 of its 9 games. Obviously, Bill O'Brien gone from Houston. Romeo Crennel, the interim head coach. Pretty much a lost season for the brilliant Deshaun Watson. He still gets it done, however, completing more than 68% of his passes, 18 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. New England, well, they hope to take advantage of a porous run defense with Houston. The Patriots, number 2 in the NFL in rushing offense, averaging better than 161.1 rushing yards per game. Houston, terrible at stopping the run, giving up 167.4 yards per game. Patriots, a 2-point favorite, one of the popular picks in the Circa Million contest. James Salinas, the total, 49.
Yeah, and I'm one of those. I took New England in this spot. It was somewhat on New England. I'm gonna bet the coach here with Belichick, and I just can't see Romeo Crennel and the interim coach being able to figure out this team for Houston, because right now that it is a lost season. I think this really carried over from last year, that divisional playoff game in Kansas City. They have an early 24-0 lead, can't hold it. And you just saw a complete meltdown of that team in that contest. I think that negative momentum definitely carried over into this season. Now, you know, they're going to have a whole changing of the guard when it comes to up in the front office, who's going to coach the team, a whole makeshift for 2021 coming forward. But in this case, for the Texans, yeah, it is Deshaun Watson, and that's really it. But I didn't like this side for them for a couple of reasons as well. I think offensively, on the offensive line, it hasn't been a good offensive line to begin with. Now they're missing their best player today, both at left tackle and left guard. Going to be two backups playing on that side of the football, as well as now David Johnson is not playing. So I have a number of plays in this game that kind of just fit what I thought this narrative was going to be, with New England covering this small spread as a road favorite. I took Damian Harris. So Damian Harris is one as a running back. I took it over 14.5 attempts. I think we know what the identity is of New England. Let's line up. Their offensive line is healthy. Let's run the football. Let's be tougher at the point of attack, at the line of scrimmage, and kind of wear teams down. So I suspect that will continue throughout this game. So I did bet Damian Harris as that Alabama running back. He's a downhill runner, physical runner. Put your foot in the ground, take the cut and move, and runs between the tackles. I like his style of running. We say that a lot out of the Alabama running backs as it is. So from that perspective, over 14.5 attempts for him, as well as Duke Johnson now is the featured back. But I just suspected that they weren't really going to be able to run the football much, not only at the offensive line position, but also probably going to be playing catch up at some point in this game, putting it all into Deshaun Watson's hand again to throw the football. So another prop that fit the narrative, Duke Johnson under 83.5 yards collective between the rushing and the receiving yards.
Washington, by the way, to update that, did get the stop there. Cincinnati, the fumble is good for Washington, so they will take over. 7-0 lead, 11.5 to go in the second quarter. And with New England and Houston, New England was the very popular play today, probably the most popular in the early session. That doesn't mean it won't get there, but it is very popular nonetheless. Now, New England is in Houston territory. They will have 3rd and 17 from the Houston 35. Currently 7-7 in-game wagering suspended with this 3rd and long here. It looks like J.J. Watt got the sack on the last play. So Cam will try to throw a screen pass and get some yards to see if they can maybe settle for 3. And that's exactly what it looks like they're going to do. And look, with New England, they're kind of now, it's almost like maybe there's the perception, okay, and James, I think, made the case that it's more a play against Houston than it is an endorsement of the New England Patriots in this spot. But I think there's a lot of other bettors that are thinking, okay, maybe the Patriots are back here. This is when they usually play. That's a Patriot way, right? November and December is when it's winning time in New England usually. Now, they had a certain Hall of Fame quarterback that that certainly helped out with that they no longer have. So, but they're 4-5. They've gotten two straight wins on national TV. One was a close game against the Jets. And then obviously last week, the win over Baltimore, which I was fortunate enough to be on the Patriots side, as Nick Folk splits the uprights 10-7, 8:32 left to go in the first half down in Houston. But And that's what I think it is. It's more of maybe a play against Houston than it is against New England, because you wonder if Houston maybe has one kind of big effort left, because they are certainly a candidate to mail in the season at 2-7. They're not going to the playoffs. They're not in a divisional race or anything like that. So there's going to be a lot of changes there. There's going to be a new coach. You've already had J.J. Watt, who's one of the faces of the franchise, say he's going to be looking for other pastures elsewhere. They've made changes in the front office, and not just in terms of football personnel, but also executive personnel within the organization, and that has not gone over well with a lot of the Texans players. So just a multitude of changes for this team here. But You know, this was a very lopsided tally on the New England side, but they're currently up 10-7, 8:31 left to go in the second quarter. So New England reinstalled on the in-game at BetMGM, -3.5, 50.5 your current total.
The Patriots are the fifth most popular pick in the Circa Million contest. We'll go through all the picks this week in the Circa Million and the Westgate Superbook contest in the next hour. But some best bets this week: Adam Chernoff, like Houston on the money line, +120, over 47.5. Mitch Moss, like the Patriots on the money line, -128. And Adam Candy, liked over 48.5. The Patriots and the Houston Texans meeting NRG Stadium in Houston. After nine games, a case could be made for Brian Flores to be the NFL Coach of the Year. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but if the Dolphins continue to play well, continue to win games, he has a good shot of winning that honor. Think about what he's done so far. He's taken a veteran but journeyman quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick, worked him into the lineup, and then worked the rookie quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, into three consecutive wins. Although the Dolphins have struggled of late, they continue to win. And they're 6-3 headed to Denver and James Salinas, where he's located. Mr. Salinas, the Dolphins are laying 4, the total of 46. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I took this one as a contest play with Miami. Normally, this would be Denver at home, Mile High City, getting 3.5. Got to play the home dog in that situation. But in this case, Denver's just got a multitude of issues in that locker room, in particular with that offense at the quarterback position. We've seen it since they've come back. They've been throwing the ball. Ultimately, I think what I'm looking for this game is I think we're going to see a completely different game plan for the Broncos. Now, maybe if you can find it and you can buy the hook and get Miami down to 3 in this point, but from the Denver, I don't think they're going to be able to survive with Drew Lock throwing the ball consistently 40-plus times. I think we've seen him. His decision-making is not there, and his confidence is not there. I think we're going to see a completely different game plan coming out of the Bronco team. They're going to run the football, take the ball out of Drew Lock's hands, and run the football and establish some sense of presence up there to have third and short rather than these third and long situations that they're continuously in. They've also been behind a lot, too, which kind of scrapped the game plan to where they have to throw the ball. I don't suspect Denver's going to be behind in this game early. It's probably going to be a pretty close battle early, because I think on the other side for Miami, their offensive game plan is going to be relatively conservative as well, because Denver's secondary is the strength of that defense. So I look more so for a low-scoring game here, but we can get into this game later. I got a number of props for this game coming up this afternoon.
We'll talk more about the Dolphins and Broncos in the second hour of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. From Detroit, I'm Mike Sennett. In Denver, it's James Salinas. In Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds here on VSiN.